Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today, my friends, we're coming to the end of the year, and I want to bring up a statement that I heard in a song somewhere. I think it goes something like, there'll be time for accounting when the dealing's done. Well, guess what? Dealing's done. Year's over. Now you have to figure out what you did for yourself. What have you accomplished for yourself? Physically, emotionally, mentally, everything. You got to look back and say, what did I do? You need to take this look back before you make plans for next year, because you need to think about what it was you excelled at, and those items that you really let fall by the wayside. And so today, I just went to the internet, looked up something I could find to ask the question, you know, what did I learn from this year? Thought there might be some interesting stuff out there, and to my dismay, there wasn't very much interesting stuff on the internet about what this year could teach us. So let's just sort of muddle through this today and see if we can come up with some ideas that make some sense. So I got this thing here. It says 2020 50 Important Life's Lessons. And I don't even know which website this is. We can look that up later. But the bottom line is, we'll get started here. It says, first one, number one, difficult times show us the real face of life and the real face of people. Difficult times do that. They actually do. You find out really quickly who the strong people are and who the weak people are, who the people are that get things done and the people that can't get things done unless somebody else does it for them. And if we look back this year, there were some real things that made some difference. And so let's talk about, first of all, in the apartment industry, the housing industry. People don't have, the average person doesn't have very much money saved up. They're not financially secure. They're in a weak position in life. And one of the first things that I thought was going to be devastating to us was the fact that the government came in multiple different ways and said that, hey, basically you can't evict tenants that don't pay. In other words, the government here is telling us that these people get to live in our properties for free. If they can't pay, we can't evict them. And eviction is the only tool you have. You can't go and take the doors off. You can't take their locks off. You can't turn their air conditioner off. All these kinds of things got done back in the 30s and 40s, you know, when the landlords were slumlords and there was no laws against, you know, about how to deal with tenants. But none of those things can be done. So when they take away your right to evict somebody who doesn't pay you, they've basically taken away the right for you to do business. And in another way, what it tells you is that the government has the power to usurp your assets. I would never have thought that. To me, I always looked at real estate like this, the one asset they really just can't take away. I mean, they can destroy the stock market if they want to. They can change the value of the dollar if they want to. But I thought a physical asset, like a piece of real estate, could not be devalued in any way or could not be taken away from you. I mean, it's physically obvious. You have a deed to a property. You own it. You control it. But what they did was they circumvented everything by just saying, we don't care if you own it. We're not going to take it from you. Although they did try to pass a law, and I don't know if you realize this, the little four group or whatever they're called, I don't even remember their names, they tried to pass a law where you couldn't evict people. Secondly, you couldn't raise rent ever again. Thirdly, if you wanted to sell your property, you had to give the government first right of refusal to buy it so they could turn it into low-income housing. Well, you know what happens. The government's going to place a value on everything as low as it can. And so basically, they could be devaluing your asset right in front of your eyes. Another way they devalue is just by telling the tenants they don't have to pay, because the value of an apartment complex is based on its income. Well, if they tell the tenants they don't have to pay, and they don't pay, then you'll have no income. Wow. That's pretty devastating. So at the beginning of the year, when we're seeing this stuff happen back in March, I think it was, when COVID started to happen, there were a lot of scared people. I mean, then we see who really steps up. Lynn Merle, my executive vice president of Lifestyles Unlimited, she spent hours and hours and hours of time studying every governmental rule and regulation and law that was put in place and dissecting it and or bringing it down to common knowledge for our members. I can't tell you, I can't even begin to tell you how many thousands of pages of material she digested for us and brought it to us in a format that we could understand. Now, by the way, we have all that set up and she's already prepared with basically the same thing, a review of what all the laws have changed to hit once we find out if the Republicans are going to get voted in or out in Georgia, which gives the Senate to either the Republicans or the Democrats. So we're going to have to, at this time, figure out how to exist in a socialist society and find out what they will and won't let us do. That's really what we're going to find out. But she's right there already on top of that topic and studying and ready to come out of the blocks with information on it. My position is, first of all, back to this question, difficult times show us the face, the real face of people in life. The people in our group, let's call them the 95 percentile, 95% of the operators in our group not only survived, but they almost thrived. Some of them thrived in this period when they couldn't evict people. They came up with all kinds of ways to make their place the most attractive place to live, to help people figure out how to pay when they're going through tough times themselves. They worked with all kinds of things to make people more comfortable with the COVID experience and feel safer. And it was just amazing. And as I sat back and we watched this going on, we took ideas, we networked with each other, and we taught each other what was working. This works at my place, this works at my place. And we shared those ideas over and over and over again until we got to where 95% of us were absolutely okay. In fact, it got to be where many, maybe 50% of us, actually started to thrive. We did better than what we've been doing. And I think the reality is that people, as they lost their jobs, had to find a place to live, and they would look for places that were COVID-friendly. And so if you were in front of the rest of the group with the ideas that we were sharing amongst our group, you had an edge on all the people out there that weren't COVID-friendly. And so we started filling up. And whereas in our apartment, I'm just going to use one of my apartments, a Class A apartment, which is really what we thought we were going to take the brunt of the problem. In the Class A apartment, we just started saying to people, if you want to live here, you're going to pay a larger deposit. So if we can't evict you, we'll already have the money in the account to take care of you while you're still here, type of a thing. And what that did was, is that ran off the people that thought they were going to just move in and not pay. It scared them to death. They go, no, I don't want to go there. They're going to take all this money from me. And so they would leave. Only the good people would move in. And so at first, our occupancy went from about 92 to 91 to 90 to 89 to 88. Started going down a little bit. And said, okay, well, I understand that problem. That problem is we're charging too much. How do you mean we're charging too much? It's the COVID is the problem. I go, no. The COVID's not the problem. It's we're charging too much. Well, how can you say that? Said, because if we were giving these rooms away free, they'd be full in 5 seconds, right? Yes. If we gave them away for 50 cents on the dollar, they'd be full in 10 seconds. There is a number at which we get down to that and we figure out what kind of a marketing ploy to use. This place will be full. We'll take a short break and come back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about life's lessons learned in 2020. We're discussing the first one, which is difficult times show us the real face of life and people. And I was discussing just really the financial aspects that we went through as far as apartment owners, how difficult it became to try to operate our businesses. And yet, through working together, studying the situation, trying, experimenting with different ways, we were able to turn the thing around. As we went to break, I was telling you that we saw our occupancy slip in our Class A apartment complex from 92 down to 89, 88 at the maybe at one point, but then it turned around and started coming back. And we looked at our financials that month and go, boy, look at, we could actually lose money with this thing. You're never thinking that owning a business, you could lose money. I've never really been in a situation where I thought I was losing money. But man, since we turned it around, changed the things we had to change, you started seeing it come back and boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden I woke up one day and we're looking at a set of financials where we're actually at like 96, 97% occupied. And I've looked at, you know, some other deals that I'm in that other people operate, and they're all in basically the same place, 96, 97% occupied. One of them was almost 100% occupied. I think it was 99, 98%. And I thought to myself, man, this is amazing. If people would work this hard in their business when times are good, then there'd be unlimited wealth for these people that work this hard. Now, what about the other 5%? I saw some devastations. I know of at least 2 apartment complexes right now where they're trying to sell to get out from underneath the situation they're in. I think it might even be 3. In those situations, the operations of the property just didn't make it. And they didn't follow what everybody else was doing, or they had set it up wrong in the beginning. And a lot of times you can set a business up wrong and make it survive and still even make some money with it. But when tough times come, boy, that's when you find out. There's an old saying, when the harbor is full, all boats float. When the harbor goes down and the depth of the possibilities go away, then you see and are exposed to the weaknesses of the way you live your life and run your business. And there are people out there that own these businesses that are just devastated. Now, I'm not talking about the ones, by the way, where the government just forced shut down. That doesn't fall into this category. That falls into another one of these points it makes down the line here on the list, which is never underestimate the fact that everything could change in a moment's notice. I mean, that's something we all found out. The world changed in about 30 days. That's all it took. In 30 days, went from the greatest economy of all times to total devastation. Wiped out everything. Everybody. So when I look at number one here, difficult times show us real people and real faces and real places. You do in many other ways. You can look at the bad stuff. You can look at all the riots and stuff that went on for a while. People are just so at edge. I saw it shopping at Christmas. People are trying, you know, road rage was out of this world. So when times get tough, you see good people come to the rescue and bad people create mischief. Lesson number two. Self-care is a priority, not a privilege. This is an important one. You have to take care of yourself. I was talking to my daughter about this the other day, and I said, how do you get the time to work out all the time? And she says, well, I just do it 5 o'clock in the morning. And she talked about a book called Richest Man in Babylon. And one of the points in Richest Man in Babylon is pay yourself first. So if you're going to save money when you get a paycheck, you take out the savings first and then live off the rest. You don't live on the money, and if there's any left over, save it. You save first. Well, she said, I take that same approach to my life here in working out, and I work out first. So no matter what happens in the rest of the day, myself is taken care of first. And like it says right here, it's interesting they brought up self-care is a priority. Now, not a privilege. You've got to make it happen. I'm going to go one step further with this one. Something I've tried to teach for 30 years is that you have to take care of yourself for other people. You know, they talk about the masking. Do you wear the mask for you? Do you wear the mask for other people? You need to wear the mask for you, not for other people. Why you? Because you, if you get sick, become a burden to everybody else. And being healthy and being fit is another thing than being healthy. But being healthy is a responsibility to yourself. You get on an airplane, they tell you, if there is a problem in the oxygen mask drop down, put your mask on first and then put it on your child or a disabled person. Because if you're dead, you're not a help to anybody. You're not going to be able to. So I look at people and you're talking about tough times financially for some people, and they want so badly to give their kids Christmas presents so their kids have a normal Christmas, whereas they're starving. There's no money for food. There's no savings. There's no investments. And so you think back to this years past, 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 years past, you think about all of the money you wasted on kids' presents. I mean, I look at this, you come in and the Christmas tree is piled with garbage. And I mean, it's garbage. You get gifts and you give gifts that are useless to somebody. That's why I've gone to the list. The list is tell me exactly what you want, then I'll decide if what you want is even a normal person's logical gift or not, and I'll give that gift. But there's no just going out and saying, let's just buy anything we can buy just to have more presents to give. That's the biggest waste of all time. But who are you hurting by doing that? You're hurting everybody else that you know by becoming a financial burden at some point in your life. By not having a savings account, by not having investments to fall back on, when times get tough, you're waiting for the check from the government. Right now, everything that's going on out there is people waiting for the check from the government. Now, I understand many people lost their jobs directly because of what the government did. I get that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there are other people that lost their jobs and didn't work and are not starving to death. Why? Because back when you were giving your kid 27 Christmas presents, 14 birthday presents, they only gave their kids 15 Christmas presents and 5 birthday presents. They cut back on their consumption and hence created, you know, a situation where they're not in trouble. Now, back to this, fitness is a priority, not a privilege. I don't get what the not a privilege is. It's a priority that you have to make it a priority. If you don't make fitness a priority, so I found it very difficult at my age to make it the same priority it was when I was young. I had to rearrange it to make it make sense. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how you put that into your life. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley talks about positive cash flow, tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise, tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. As we went to break, today we've been talking about the life's lessons we learned from the year 2020, and we've covered a couple of them already. We'll come back to this here. We're going to get to a couple more. I'm going to skip a couple of these because I just don't even have an understanding of what they're trying to say, but I like this one. Number 5 says, life spares no one. Boy, we found that out. You know, you find out this year that people are going to die. And boy, that's a morbid conversation for almost anybody. But, you know, you found yourself saying, how many people do you know that died this year, whether it be normal situation or from COVID, either one? And then you start to realize that no one gets away from death. we're all dying. As we are living, we are getting closer to death. And that brings the next one in line, I think, to be very important, which is number six. Time is a limited resource. Don't waste it. For people that things don't add value to your life, for people or things that don't add value to your life. So I see people that have two problems. There's two problems in this particular statement. First one is people, and the second one is things. I'm going to take things first because that's the easiest. There are things in your life that you do that are complete waste. I know that I hate myself because I have email. I wish I could figure out how to get off of every email list that I'm on, get rid of all the people that contact me that don't have something specific. I spend hours just cleaning an email box out. There's nothing valuable in that to me. It could be eliminated down to just a few emails. I know people said, well, why don't you get yourself somebody to go through and edit your emails, or, you know, group them for you, or eliminate the ones that are worthless, or answer the easy ones. And I've just not been mentally able to get my arms around somebody else doing my emails or talking to people that want to talk to me for me, and so I haven't done it. But I know, even though I know I'm doing it wrong, I know I hate it, and it's there. Now, I'm saying there's going to be stuff in your life right now, if you sit down and think about it, it's just a waste. One of the big wastes in this world that my wife and I are going round and round about right now, she's saying we should get rid of our house. And the reason she's giving, well, one of the reasons she's giving, is that there's so much to do here. I mean, this home is so large and the landscaping is so intricate that it takes maybe four or five different landscaping companies, pool company, landscaping company, additional landscapers, tree people, fountain people, just to maintain this thing. And then you've got to pay for all that. And you also have to watch them when they come and let them in, let them out, and so on and so forth. It goes on and on and on. My dad told me this when I was a kid. He said, Del, it's not what it costs to buy something. It's what it costs to maintain it. And so we have, I think we have four cars, something like that, and some sports vehicles and stuff. But that means you have to get four licenses every year instead of one. If I had only one car, you know, you have to take them in for maintenance on a regular basis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now that eats up so many hours of your day. So you got your house eating up so many hours of your day. Your car's eating up so many hours of your day. Go down the list. You get to people. And there are people that will just eat up your time. And the point here is not to have time with people. The point is not to have things. Point is, don't waste it on people or things that don't add any value to your life. That's the important thing. And if you don't think it through, they will gobble you up. Now, I've been, I don't think the word is lucky. I think I was at a very early age. I've read a bunch of information that said, don't let people invade your space, you know, and you own your life and you own your time and you own your energy. Do those valuable things with it. And I read a lot of books about that stuff, and I've talked to you about it over the last 30 years. So that isn't really one of my biggest problems, right? Got a lot of problems in life, but that isn't one of them. But a lot of other people have friends that just eat up their life with demands and timing and so forth, and family that eats up their life with time and so forth. I'll give you an example of one that I was kind of happy about the other day. In the past, when the family came to town and there's 10, 20, 30 people, the word is not fight. We would debate what we should do. And ultimately, if there's 10 people in the room and you're debating it, three like this, three like this, something else, and three like something completely different, that if you pick one to go do, somebody is going to be wasting time standing around doing something they don't want to do. And they're going to be irritated by it because it really is irritating. So I figured that out a year ago, 2 years ago, and started working on a way to get through it. And this year I just threw my arms up and said, wow, I hope you guys have fun. Go do whatever you want to do. And everybody broke up and did what they wanted to do. And I went and did what I wanted to do. And, you know, I picked some time to spend with my daughter. I picked some time to spend with my son-in-law. I picked some time to spend with the granddaughter, you know, and just a little bit of time here and there with each part of the family. That was time spent conducive to positivity and mutually valuable. Now, that's my little microcosm of the situation, but I think it's important. Number seven, be intentional with everything you do. Your future depends on it. Man, this could go on forever, but I was in a situation where I was gaining a lot of weight, and I was starting to bulk back up again last year. beginning of 2020 because I was getting ready to try to get into a seniors bodybuilding contest, a masters, you know, for old guys. And all of a sudden COVID came out and they said, you know, if you catch COVID and you have stuff that's wrong with your body, you could die from it. And so I looked at my situation. I'm saying, after I had cancer, almost everything in my body doesn't work right. All the blood work you do, everything that should be low is high. Everything that should be high is low. And so I'm living on this situation where I take about 11 different prescriptions to stay alive a day. And yet here I am bulking up, and I go from my wedding weight, July of 2000, I guess it's 2020. No, it would have to be 19. Been married for a year already. So in July of 2019, I was down to 214, and I had just bulked up all the way back up to 255. And then I thought, Del, you're insane. You're 64 years old. Why do you need to be training for bodybuilding? And I got very specific, like the same things. You better be very specific about what you're doing and have it in mind, intentional, what you want to do. And I thought to myself, man, I'm going to change my intention here. My intention is no longer to be big. My intention is to live one more year, 5 more years, 10 more years, whatever it is. I got to get my body weight down. So I went on a diet, exercise program, changed my exercise program so I wouldn't build that much muscle. I dropped the weights I was lifting. I dropped the food. I was taking about 6,000 calories a day, and I dropped it down to about 3,000 calories a day. I might even drop it less because I'd like to lose more weight. But the point I'm getting to is I changed directions in my intention. I was intended to grow from 214 to 255, and then I intended to get back down to the 214, which I'm not there yet, by the way. But it was something I thought, man, there's a need for intentional change. Another thing was, a couple of years ago, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, I decided that I got to stop working in my businesses. And really, I buy businesses to where I don't have to do very much. But 3-4 years from then, I started saying, you know what, I'm going to buy businesses I don't have to do anything. And I started looking for businesses to buy that I didn't have to be on the org chart, that there was no ever reason for me to walk in the door. And man, talk about change your life. That was an intentional change in the types of things that I did in life and the types of businesses I was willing to buy. And I passed up lots of opportunities for really good business opportunities because they didn't fit that goal. So I think being intentional in life is very, very important for whatever it is. Intentional on your health, intentional on your finances, intentional on your job, and yes, even intentional on your relationships. I find that to have the relationships that I would prefer to have, I have to think it through. I have to literally have an intention on how I want the relationship to work. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now, here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today, we're talking about the 50 ideas, 50 different lessons we learned in 2020. And we've gone through maybe 5 or 6 of them so far, so we're not going to get through all 50 of them in any way, shape, or form. But one of them I like in here is, I learned what was going to be important or what will be important in a pandemic. Well, let's take this one step further. A pandemic, a world war, a civil war, all of these types of things may and could occur. And the pandemic just made light of that. What could happen if the world just gets shut down? But you have to think about this. What happens if some terrorist gets in here and figures out how to turn off all the electricity? Do you have a generator for your house? I do, right? But the one that really got me this year, guys, and I have no idea how this really works, to be honest with you, is that there were no guns left on the shelves. Right after the pandemic came and there was those riots in the streets, you couldn't buy a gun. You couldn't buy one at the stores. The stores were out of them. every gun. Of course, I don't work, so I'm always interested in what's going on. So I go around and watch things, and I'm a bit of a gun enthusiast. So I go in and look at guns every once in a while just to see new ones or whatever. But I went in to get some ammo or something. There was no ammo on the shelves. I went in to see this, and there were people in lines wrapped all the way around the store trying to buy guns that there were no guns left. And people were buying whatever kind of gun they could buy. And not every gun is a good self-defense gun, I guarantee you that. And I saw people buying guns that had no reason to own a gun. I saw a lady pick up a gun and pointed it at herself in the face by looking down the barrel to see what it looked like in the barrel. I mean, just insane stuff. I went to the gun ranges to practice, and there was lines, people trying, they've never shot guns before, were in there trying to learn. And, you know, most of them had like a family member, somebody trying to help them, or a friend that's trying to help them learn how to. But what you basically have is you have a lot of rookies teaching rookies how to own a gun, how to use a gun. Most of them don't know the safety precautions necessary to be safe with a gun, but they all want a gun. Now, there's so many people, and I'll tell you, if you look at the nationalities and you know, the race, the creed, the color, the financial abilities of these people, they were all over the place. This was not just a bunch of rich white guys buying guns. I'm telling you, every nationality in the world, I saw them in there, man. Every country, every nationality, every race, every color, everybody was in there buying guns and ammo until they ran out. And so then you had to go to the internet, and I very quickly bought up a bunch of rounds on the internet before they started disappearing off the internet. But then the internet ammo even disappeared. So it was like, wow. That's important. So you think about it. What went away first? People first went in and took all the toilet paper out of the grocery store. Think about that. That was 99% of the people out there's priority. I'm going to go get toilet paper. So what I'm saying to you is, have you ever really thought through what would happen to you if there was some kind of disaster? Do you have anything to eat if they shut down the grocery stores? I mean, it's insane. I literally decided to buy grocery stores. I'm going to buy my own grocery stores. Not because I'm going to go eat all the food myself, but because of the one thing that they left open during the pandemic. They became essential services. Well, food is essential. What happens if they shut food down? What are you going to do? Now, I'm not one of those guys that got stuff, you know, packed away somewhere in a cabin or dug in the backyard and, you know, 20 years of food and 20 years of ammunition, 20 years of medical supplies, all that. I don't have all that stuff. I'm just saying to you, this year showed me something. It showed me how unprepared we are as individuals to survive a devastation of any kind. And so I think you should think about that. And I'm going to tell you which way to go. One of the things is that when people realized Joe Biden was going to get elected, and Joe Biden was going to take Beto O'Rourke from Texas, El Paso, Texas, who absolutely has designs on eliminating all guns. I mean, this guy is a wacko. And he said he was going to put him in charge of guns. Everybody I know bought 10 more. And they're hiding them. They're burying them. They're hiding them. But the real question is, what if the government comes door to door to actually try to collect those guns? And I heard people saying, well, I'm going to fight them. And I'm thinking to myself, you're going to fight with a semi-automatic rifle or pistol, 20 or 30 SWAT guys that are covered in protection, bulletproof vests and so forth, who have automatic rifles. Doesn't seem too logical. Right? So I don't know what that means. I think what it means is if we're going to keep people from taking our guns and taking away our protection, we better do it at the ballot boxes. We better eliminate these guys. Or once they have your guns, that's the first thing they do in every country they take over. They take away your guns. That's it. So a lot of things, you know, what did 2020 teach me? 2020 taught me that we may not be prepared for the kind of stuff that's going on. I just saw another ad. Somebody sent me an ad that Trump was robbed of the election. I mean, there was an hour and a half of proof. And I say proof, and I put quotations around, marks around it, you know, air quotes, saying proof that he had been robbed of the presidency. So what does that lead to? I just heard an ad on the radio just a second ago while I went to break that they're saying we have an army of Trumpites. What is that going to lead to? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying one of the things I learned in 2020 is that we're not really prepared for the craziness that could actually occur. And if you look at it, you think about it for just a second. The last one is things aren't always what they seem to be. And that's truly the scary part of what I learned in 2020. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.